excellent preaching. Brandon, thank you so much for the worship. Honor you for your obedience and for everyone who's been serving so faithfully in this church. You know, God is really saying, some people have been bringing words of Ikkar words and saying the glorious report, and God says, not of my watch. These are my children, these are my sons and my daughters. God is very proud of me. So it's a privilege for us to join this work to be with you today. I'm just going to share shortly of just what God has been already doing. You know, I love the Lord. When we see Jesus' life, and when he came to earth, we see that he had a very specific purpose of why he came. And that he didn't really like to direct attention to himself, but that he came for a purpose, and that was to glorify the Father. He came to glorify the Father. And I want us to read together this morning from John, a couple of scriptures from John, just to see something from Jesus' heart as a son. John chapter 1, verse 14 and 18 says, and the word Christ, Jesus, he became flesh, human incarnate, in tabernacle, he fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while amongst us. And we saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace and truth. Listen to what the scripture says now. No man has ever seen God at any time. The only unique Son, the only begotten God, who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father, Jesus. He has declared him. He has revealed him and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him and he has made him known. You want to see the Father? You look to Jesus. Let's go on in John chapter 5. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but he only does what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show you, that you may marvel. And listen to this incredible statement. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Same message in John chapter 12. This is Jesus just before his crucifixion. He says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Let's all of us say that together. Father, glorify
your name.
Just say that.
Father, glorify your name.
That was Jesus' motivation. That was the heart cry of Jesus. He said, Lord, you know, I know what's going on, lies ahead of me is tough, but will I draw back? You know, we go through tough circumstances, and Jesus had this incredible tough task ahead of him. He said, shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? No. My heart cries, and your name, Father, will be glorified. And this incredible response of the Father from heaven, which comes, and he says, a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And the crowd that stood there and heard it said that thundered. And others said, an angel had spoken to him. But Jesus said, no, this voice has come from your sanctuary. Don't you guys think it must be incredible when God speaks audibly from him? It's like a great quake. And this is actually the third time that God the Father spoke audibly from heaven over Jesus. Who of you guys, when you were baptized, someone prayed over you and said, this is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. And we have to really got baptized. Some have prayed that over me. I know that they like to pray that. You know, when Jesus got baptized, he went down into the water and he came up. And then Father spoke over him and said, this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased. And the second time when Jesus was transfigured up on the mountain where Moses and Elijah joined him, God the Father spoke again from heaven and he said, this is my beloved Son. And what else did he say? Hear him. The third time, when Jesus says, Father, glorify him, God speaks again. You guys know this morning that God wants to say exactly the same thing over us. Do you know that you are beloved, the sons and daughters of God? God is saying exactly the same thing over you. But you know that it doesn't stop there. That exactly what God said over Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Before Jesus did anything, he also says, this is my beloved son and daughter. Yet he remembered. Do you guys know that? Show your standard, and this is what the Lord is saying over you. You are my beloved sons and daughters. I want you to be heard. You have a voice. There's no place for shame. There's no place for we are second-rate citizens or we're struggling. God wants us to be heard. You know? And in the third place, and this is what I just want to share shortly with us this morning, is when we start to have the same heart cry as Jesus. To say, I don't want to live for myself or to live for my own purpose or my own good ideas, but I want to live for your glory, Father. And there's a response from him that says, yes, that's my God. That's my God. I resonate with that. People see, look, this is what a son is. So that's basically my whole message this morning. I've got so much more to share, but you know, guys, yes, John 17, Jesus even reiterates this as a one scripture. And he says, when Jesus spoke these words, he lifted up his eyes to him and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So even if you receive glory in this life, God says there's a place that's better than success, better than achieving stuff on earth. You know what? That's even temporal. You can achieve success and drive in nice cars. When I arrive in Johannesburg, every morning I see that the beings and the judges and the Ferraris driving. It's kind of nice, you know. But you know what? I look at those guys' faces. So God is really just bringing a simple message to us, a social standard in this morning, and saying, are you willing to live in my glory? Are you willing to look away from the past, look away from the shame, look away from what people have said about you? Look away from the past, though. Look away from human falsities. Are you willing to live in my glory? Show us standard and do you want to live with the glory of the Father? For the glory of my name. So basically, if we say this morning, we want to glorify the Lord, glorify the Father, I want to alter us a couple of scriptures that just will help us to do that. Are you guys wanting to learn this morning? How can we glorify the Father? If you have a little boy standing here this morning, right? That boy comes from somewhere. You guys agree with me? Science will tell you, no, we can make him in the test tube, or Modern Family. I know it's only the simplest, you know, watch that TV show. But you have Modern Family with this two dads, and they have the boy. And the other day I read in the news, I saw this little photo of this cute little girl sitting there, and there's three ladies sitting with her on the couch. And I thought, this looks strange. And then the article is about how this girl has three mommies. The first two with the mother, you know, were together in a partnership. And this baby was conceived, they went to some Harvard University student to get some sperm. So the baby was conceived, and now there's another one in the partnership. So they're three together. And then there's the baby. But the fact remains that little girl, no matter how hard we try, how modern and how progressive we want to be, has that it is involved. The father's seed is involved to get that child, right? Now, when I was visiting some friends of mine, some people that day, some Iranian friends of mine, they're hungry for God. They love them so much. And so, I wanted to have lunch with Hussein. I texted him, and I said, Hussein, are we going to have lunch? And he said, no, my boy was just born, Dahia, his son. He was born 2 weeks ago, so he said, please come to the hospital, I want you to meet Dahia. So now, I arrived at the hospital, and there's this little pink ball. And he was just born, but immediately it's like, yeah, he's got Hussein's eyes, and Dahia in his nose, very prominent, you know, you can see. And you guys know the grandparents usually with the baby, so the West, it's got my intelligence, it looks just like me. And all I see is this little pink blob. You know, but the fact is that a child comes from something. And it is the most incredible thing. That no matter how far we want to go from it, the son always points to the father. That's a big revelation. The son points to the father. Let's all say that together. The Son points to the Father. And that's a big revelation. If we can catch that picture of this morning, we're going to change that. We're talking about how people glorify the Father. Let's go to the scripture, Hebrews chapter 1. Looking at Jesus in heaven. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in his last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And listen to what the scripture says about the glory of God. He is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature. So if we talk this morning about glorifying God and the glory of God, we see that the glory of God is embodied in who? Jesus. The Son always points to the Father. For it was fitting that he, Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist, and bringing many sons to glory, should make the Father of his salvation perfect through his suffering. Just that, so Jesus goes further and says, not only does he point to the Father, but he also enabled us through his death on the cross, us also to bring glory to the Father. And I'm so excited about this. As some of those of us who have businesses will know this, you can appoint a worker, right? And he or she clocks in at 8, and clocks up at 5, and it's this very mechanistic thing. They do their little tasks, and they can even have good relationships with you. But there's nothing like the Son. I'm talking about the good Son who walks into the business and he understands something, that this is actually mine. I take ownership of this. And so that's something that the Lord wants us to catch this morning, that, that Jesus enabled us to bring glory to the Father through his sonship. I'm just amazed at how when Jesus came in a very specific way, that God wanted us to know him. And how did he want us to know him? He didn't send nice SMSs to the cell phones or fly with an airplane to the sky or one of those smoky machines and say, "Hi guys, I'm here up in the sky." You know? He didn't do any sorts of weird things. He didn't sit on the cloud and say, "You little ants down here, this is me, I'm God." No. How did God choose to reveal himself to us? He sent the Son. So we want to know the heart of God and who God is revealed to the Son. And what did Jesus reveal to us about the Father? He first of all reveals that this God we serve is this incredible relational God. That, you know, he's not up there far away, that he's someone who can be touched. He's someone who can be pulled on his little, you know, on his robe. You know that woman who was so up to Jesus, she just pulled it all over. He revealed that someone, that God is someone who's not far away and just interested with your suffering. He's not just interested with your sickness and with your circumstances. He revealed that he's a God who's right there with us and he suffers with us. You know that everything that you've gone through, every challenge that you set in our scripture says that God, that Jesus went through exactly the same thing so you can empathize with us. There's nothing to do with it. Is that incredible? Jesus also revealed to us about God the Father that he's someone who's loved. Right? Jesus had compassion on the people when he saw them and that they were suffering. And that he was a God who could be heard, who could hear his voice and know his will. You don't have to live in a way that you don't know anything about God. You can know him. He also revealed to us that God is holy. Jesus spoke about the fear of God often. He said that, you know, he is your daddy. He's someone who can be loved and touched. And, but there's a protocol. And he's also holy because he's so much higher than our understanding. Right? Point is, God wanted to reveal himself to us. And he didn't send the messages. He sent his Son. The Son points to the Father. Okay. So, I want to stop for a moment and say, okay, we're talking about the glory of God. Who of you know this morning what the glory of God is? Okay, you know more than me. I think I know 0.0900% of the glory of God. But if we want to know this morning what is the glory of God, there's a couple of scriptures that I want us to go read at home. It's, I don't have time, unfortunately, to go through all of them, but go read Ezekiel 1, Isaiah 6, and Revelation 1. But basically, whenever someone had an encounter with the glory of God, it involved God, this great Almighty God, sitting on the throne. Right? This picture of God sitting as King on the throne, And he is majestic and he's huge and he's all powerful. There's nothing impossible for him. I love that Ezekiel 1 especially. You know, it's like a scary scripture of those scores of those weird creatures. We have the four faces, you know. There's a lion face and an ox face and an eagle face. And they've got wings, and the one wing covers the body and the other one they're flying. And you know, there's this fire and Michael and cloud, and it's like the scary thing. Ezekiel is lying flat on his face before God. But then there's this interesting scripture. And I think it was written for us people. I come from Secunda, right? And it says there's these big wheels on the earth. And whenever the creatures move, wherever the spirit directs, the wheels on the earth go. But this, the Bible says that the wheels have big rims. And so that's why I think it was for Secunda. So we could be associated with it. We like big rims. But yeah, I think there's so much in that scripture, but basically the glory of God involves God sitting on the throne. And so the best picture that I can give you this morning of the glory of God is Psalm 24 that talks of who is the King of Glory, is the Lord strong and mighty. It's like a victor, someone who has been victorious in battle. And I think I want us to imagine this morning this picture of a victorious king, right? And he's got this huge procession that's coming into a city. He's just won a battle. You know, and there's like Vishen would say, some pain models would spike in Mahta and Ayah, and Enola would sing, and other on the, and this guy is coming in into the city, and it's a parade, and there's stuff that's flying down, and everyone's just celebrating this victim. He's never lost a battle, he's always victorious. And so, if that guy walks into the door, you know, we can all be talking and busy with our stuff, but when that person walks into the door, it becomes quiet. Just realize that there's so many hectic things here. Who of you know someone like that? When they walk into a room, it's everyone can understand this guy is hectic. You know, he deserves respect. Like, you want to respect the office on God, you know? It's almost something like that. And so when I see God as that victor, he's got all of these military badges on the right, and the one says he's a creator God. He created all of this. And one says that Jesus is love, perfect love. One says he's in charge, he's perfectly just. One says that he's conquered death. Other one says he's the healer, the deliverer, the one for whom nothing is impossible. All these sort of battle with the proof that God is just huge. Okay, so when he walks into the room, we're all silent. So when we see when, in the Old Testament, when the guys encounter the glory of God, they just realize this God is too heavy. This heavy. The Greek, the Hebrew word, one of the Hebrew words for glory is kabod. And it literally means the weight. The, someone who carries weight. So Yakama said, this is heavy, heavy. The is heavy. It's literally something like that. And so, that's just a picture of God that I have. The Greek word is doxa. It says it's honor, it's splendor, it's splendor and renown. I love what John Lemire says, his definition of the glory of God is that it's everything that makes God, God. All these characteristics, his authority, power, wisdom, literally the immeasurable weight and magnitude of him, but nothing will help him. So it's the sum total of all who God is in his glory. So many people, or, you know, some weird people will tell you the glory is the cloud. You know, the mist and the glory of God fell in the meeting when there was a cloud. You know, God's glory is not the cloud. You guys can understand that we would actually die if we saw the full glory of God. So that's how God hid himself in the cloud. He said that we can still know him and count him, but not die, just like by how huge he is. Okay. So don't let people tell you the glory is the best. Okay. Praise the Lord. So that is the glory of God, it's how huge God is. We saw that no one laughed or was strange. There was just the inherent respect in this God came into the glory. Isaiah 6, where Isaiah said he saw the train of the robe of God filled in the temple, and he fell on his face. And what was the first thing that he said? Yes, and the angels are saying, holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with his glory. Isaiah's response is just, God, I remember how quickly it was. And see how big you are. I see how I'm my son, God. I'm so dirty. I'm so far from you. I'm disobedient, God. I get it wrong. And not only myself, but the generation with me. We miss it, God. You heard him. And then God comes and provides and touches his lips with a coal, right? So he sends off Gideon. And then he sends out Isaiah with a man to go do something. He says, it's fine. I know you, Joseph. I know you're unknown, whatever, but I made your provision for that. I want you to join you. So the glory of God is amazing. It's incredible. I think the little 0.1% that I know already forces me on my knees. And so if we say this morning that we want to glorify God, all of us have said that we want to glorify God, right? He talks about revealing this God, making this God be made known. Exactly what Jesus did. He came to reveal the glory of God as a son. Okay. You guys don't want to glorify the Lord this morning. Okay. Just a couple of scriptures before I get practical and we worship again. Proverbs 17 verse 6 says this, that the glory of children is their father. So the preceding scripture actually says the glory of grandparents on their grandchildren. Who are the grandparents in the house? You guys agree, right? Thank you. They make it. But scripture says the glory of children is their father. And what I want to hold before us this morning is that there's so many things that we can chase after our own successes, but scripture says very clearly that what gives children glory in this life is you as a dad. Dads, I'm going to speak to you this morning. Do you know that you can make your children proud, and that God's heart for you is for your children to be proud of you? Not perfect, not have the biggest bank balance, or to provide every single little need that they have, or toys and whatever, but God says, the big measure of the success your child has in going and living in this earth and walking with his head held high is determined by you. A dad who's consistent, a dad who's just, a dad who's loving, a dad who's yes is his yes and his no is his no. You know, as a child, you have so much confidence to walk out on the earth and live life when your dad has set you up for success. But dad determines so much of how you conduct yourself in this world. And so this is what the scripture is saying, that the glory of children is their father. The best, I don't have good examples for this, but this is something like, imagine Obama's in the world, right? They walk out and they now do this comparison thing. In Joburg they do this. The kids at school compare, my dad drives this, my dad has a BMW, and my dad has this. Can you believe it? My brother had to go to this. Now these people are standing on the playground, right? And they're starting to talk about their dads. Oh, my dad is an engineer, my dad can do this, my dad is the strongest, my dad is the coolest. Whatever. Now Obama's girl standing there and they say to Obama, my dad's a loser. So it's not legit. And it's something of that pride and confidence that a child can have in his dad. It's not connected to all the earthly stuff. It's about your father. And so scripture says the glory of children is their father. And not only is that true for us as kids in the natural, but kids in the spiritual. Our glory is not to achieve a lot of stuff and to do stuff. Our glory is our father. Don't you guys agree that we have the strongest, most amazing, most loving dad on the planet, right? That's our glory. Do you guys think we can walk with the same confidence in earth that we walk out here today, knowing who my dad is? Guys, we live as slaves and orphans really hard. If we don't know our fathers, we don't know how amazing he is. And God is saying this morning, I'm going to show my standards. I'm removing the shame. You will not walk as orphans. You will not walk as second-rate citizens. There's our shofar in here, so. What goes on in shofar? They've got top deck in their church, you know. Dark chocolate and vanilla. All together. You know, nothing like that anymore. God is saying, you're my sons and my daughters. So we need some mind renewal in terms of that this morning. And you know, it's not actually about how nice you have, how we feel. We don't actually have a choice on this. Romans 8 says, for creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. I want you to think with me. One of the big problems in the world today that we see that's really destroying the world. One is lawlessness. Right? Lawlessness means people just do exactly what they want. What are the sons saying today? Listen to your heart, right? I'm not going to sing it to you this morning. But listen to your heart. Do what you want. It's all about us. And how's that working out for us? Not well. Our people are tearing down buildings and whatever, lawlessness. Also the growth of Islam. And I say this with respect and humility because I've got Muslim friends whom I love very much. But that religious drive of trying to please a God and to gain favor from him, it's a curse of fatherlessness, just like lawlessness. I'm no such an animal. I say this with, again, with lots of love and respect. Curse of fatherlessness. It's a need for the father heart to connect with the father heart. Feminism, this anger against men, and you will not tell me what to do. The world is cursed by fatherlessness. So this scripture says, creation is waiting with eager expectation for the revealing of the sons of God. Why the revealing of the sons of God? What's our catchphrase for today? The sons always point to the Father. The Father is the answer for these things. The revelation of the Father's heart, the Father's embrace, the Father's discipline is what the world needs. And how are they going to see that? How did he choose to reveal himself in the first place? It's through the Son. Right? Is this rocket science this morning? No. No. But this, if you catch this, we can change the world. The difference between a son and an orphan is, you know, the orphan can, or a slave can, you know, get away, he can even know his master very well, and, you know him and all of that stuff. But basically, a son differs in two ways. His first is identity. He carries the name of the father, and secondly, he has an inheritance. Now look at what scripture says our identity and inheritance is in the scriptures. Romans 8:14. For all the one led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let's read that scripture together. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. If we talk inheritance this morning, guys, that's our inheritance as sons. That's what makes you different from just a person who says, I'm a Christian on paper or someone outside me. You can hear the voice of God and follow his leading. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's our inheritance, right? And secondly, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's read that together as well. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The world is crying out for peacemakers. And this is not a pipe dream, but I was so blessed by a bishop, I can't remember his name, but that bishop with the Marikana protests. You know, you can say a lot of stuff about him, and he did some stuff about whatever, but he was one man, he's a son of God, he said, I'll be a mediator, a peacemaker. The media actually called him a peacemaker of the people. What a testimony. The whole earth is waiting with earnest expectation for the revealing of the sons of God. Guys, God the Father is the answer. And he's not going to send the angel, he sent us the sons and daughters of God. And we have to understand this morning that when we walk out here, we walk with that same image as our Father God. That's our dad. Nothing is impossible. That's our glory. I don't have time to go, we can have a sermon about each of these in detail. But what basically, just a couple of quick scriptures that will help us this morning. We say we want to glorify the Lord. There's some practical things that we can do that I want to submit here today. In the first place, how do we glorify the Father? If we walk up here and we say we stand to represent Him, and we want Him to have the glory and people to know the Father, how do we do that? Firstly, through our character. Now, this is a tough one for me. I can tell you, I've been a Christian now for 7 years. And I've seen people, deaf people, people speak, deaf people hear incredible healings, the glory of God in incredible ways. But what impresses me at this moment is someone's character. Now, good character is more worth than 1,000 words, 1,000 sermons. You can preach all day and want about lots of stuff, but your character, that's something that impresses me. What does scripture say? By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. It's the fruit from our lives. God, guys, we can have all the gifts and prophecies, and if we do not have love, if we don't have a character that reflects our Father, then we're missing it. So I want to charge our church in Standerton Are we looking like sons of God? I've got a list of things that the Lord challenged me with, and maybe it's not for you, it's just for me, of things where I know sometimes we miss God. We say we want a character like a son, not just the father. Not all of it's on there, but basically test yourself this morning. How does an orphan, someone who does not actually have the character of a son of God, you have a constant comparison with others. So whether it's subconscious or conscious, right? I'm always like, yes, you know, I'm Michael. He's a deep eyes. Deep eyes. Who of you guys have heard that phrase? Deep eyes.
Yeah. And is that the last thing?
He's such a deep guy, and he's got the most amazing gifts, and I just want to be like him. Looking to other people, comparing myself. Secondly, jealous of other people's relationship with God or their giftings. Who of you have ever thought that someone else's gifting was cool? Ooh, I want to pray for healing like that guy. That Rhino will go with a fire. He's our mighty man of God. Jealousy of other people's relationship with God or giftings. A desire to be right or in control at all times. I'll do something as long as I'm the leader or I can dictate. But if Pastor Anton says no, I'm not going to do it. Because it's not my way. It's not the character of the son. Critical and easily offended with people. Tendency to get irritated easily, you know. That guy, he's always up there on the stage singing, he's always got a smile. That guy. I get someone get offended in my heart, we don't actually know why. Not a son. You're unhealthily focused on the task rather than the relationship. So it's okay, I'm serving, I'll come back chairs here, or I'll do something for the church, but I'm not going to open my heart to the people. A lot of us struggle with that, guys. A lot of us need to submit our character to the Father to change us in this regard. It's easy to do this stuff, but to really open our heart to people. A fascination with what other people think of you, or living according to other people's expectations. A tendency to be divisive. You're not someone who brings unity, you're someone who always brings in the thing that separates people. Bitterness in my mouth. Like I said, it's all just the stuff that the Lord told me, nothing but you guys. A constant sense of there must be more, right? We're not content. It's not that contentment that comes from Christ and what He has done already. We're always frustrated. I get more excited about the stuff than about Jesus Himself. This one there. And that was instant satisfaction. I'm someone who has sort of a hedonistic vibe where if I want to eat, I'll go to McDonald's right now. I can't wait and invest for something. Struggle with that. Living for instant satisfaction. And also a struggle with self-forgiveness. You always have a condemnation. You never feel good enough. You always feel like I'm missing out. Oh, I'm never going to make it, so I'm actually just not going to try. Some of us are in that place this morning, yeah, I know that. Especially because you are family. We felt that I've put out my faith, I've trusted God. I said, Lord, I'm willing to put my life on the line. And you've gotten hurt. And I will never mock it because I will never be let from the hurt that we have. God is saying, I can't open my heart. God, I open my heart and trust in me because it's not about people, it's about my glory. Struggle with self-forgiveness. Fear of rejection by God and people. Constant uncertainty as to God's will. Legalism, I like rules more in relationship. And this one is also a deep one. I run when suffering comes knocking on the door. So, it's lucky to serve the Lord when the banners are nice and the bands thank people. And like what the duty say in front or whatever, but as soon as the guy gets tough and we're going through the fire, that's the father's discipline, then no, I'm going to another church. Or I'm chucking, now this is not I run when suffering is coming. If your son is gonna take over the business and the guy gets tough, he's not gonna run. Your workers are gonna run, right? They're gonna just do for other jobs, but son stays. Because he knows that it's not about him, it's about his father. You guys getting it? I'm just sharing with you what God is talking to me about, right? And then two last ones, asking, but what about me? What about me, God? That one is blessed, and that one is getting all the blessings and stuff, but when is it my time? My time now. And so you're not really, if you go through these things, I had to realize that I'm not actually really, really free to live as a son. If we look at Jesus' life, right? He said some radical stuff. He did crazy things, but did he care what people thought of him? Huh? Jesus had such a freedom to live and to just be himself, even though treat people up. A lot of people didn't like him, but he was free. And that's the mark of the son, guys. If we know that we live in such a, if we have the freedom, we don't care about the people, we don't care about the circumstances, while we live. It's about the glory of our Father. So I'm not saying these things as wanting to condemn us. Helping us to evaluate, because we all know about sonship, we all know that we need a good character. But I want to submit to us, God wants us to have the character of the Son, that reflects the glory of the Father. Because He's glorified by our fruits, right? Fantastic. So, you guys still want to glorify the Father? Yes. Not only through our character, but also we glorify the Father through our works. I'm not going to say a lot about this, but the scripture we know well. In the same way, let your light so shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So not only a good character, but the same works. Jesus said, the things that you see me doing, you're going to do exactly the same and even more. Meaning, you'll go and be able to live right across the earth. Right? So, in terms of our works, we need to come before God and say, Lord, I'm not interested in success, I'm interested in obedience to you. So we need to trust God and say, God, I want to do everything to your glory. That doesn't just mean the spiritual stuff like praying for healing, you know, that's going to glorify God. Or facilitating small groups of your no. Everything we do to the glory of God. So when I go to work, is it less spiritual than coming to church? No. Because my works, if my lights are shining on me, then they see my good works, and then that will give glory to the Father, right? Is this difficult this morning? No. You want to glorify the Father, He says, okay, give your works to me, give glory to me through your works. In the third place, close to that, is if we want to glorify God the Father, we need a kingdom focus. Philippians chapter 2 says, therefore God has highly exalted him, and that's Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So God the Father is glorified to people bowing their knee. And when we talk kingdom principles, that's not where the love stuff. People like talking about the love stuff, but kingdom principle basically talks about servitude. Not serving, but us becoming servants. There's a difference. The scripture just before this said, Jesus, you know, he became a servant, he washed our feet. He laid down his life to serve us. So kingdom, if you want to glorify the Lord, kingdom principles means we have to become a servant. It means an outward focus, not living for my own stuff, but when someone comes to the church, I look after them. I also submit to authority, submission and authority. That's kingdom principles, a sermon on its own. And obedience to the Holy Spirit. That means if God says now, we move. Not ifs, ands, or buts. Every knee must bow to the glory of God the Father. I know the scripture in Acts chapter 16. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but you know, Paul was this incredible guy. You guys know that Paul was the horse of the jailer. He read 2/3 of the New Testament. And he wasn't always necessarily 100% sure of the will of God. Why do I say that? Acts chapter 16. So he now heard that Jesus said, go preach the gospel across the earth. So now they are going, you know. And so they went to the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak in Asia. Okay, so they're like, okay, we want to go preach the gospel in Asia. And the Holy Spirit says to them, no, not now, yeah. And they're like, okay, let's go to, what's the next one? Bithynia. And what scripture says, but the Spirit of Jesus said, did not allow them. So you get right there from what was doing. He's saying to them, you guys are going and evangelizing, it's good, but not here, not now. And eventually they have a vision in the night. The Macedonian man appeared to him and said, oh, please come to us. And I love what this last part says. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately We sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel there. I always think the scripture is so funny. That's a good conclusion to make, right? If you have this vision of the guy saying to you in the dream, come to Macedonia, and they get it in the morning. I conclude, you have to go to Macedonia and preach the gospel there. But I love that they just went immediately. So, point of the story. To have that same heart and say, God, I'm going to go wherever. As I'm moving, I get to know your will. As I'm doing what scripture says, I'm getting to know your will. Expect that direction from the Holy Spirit. Right? Implicit obedience. We're talking kingdom principles that glorify the Lord. And then the last two ways that we can glorify the Father. And I want to help you through what happened this morning as well. It's to have love for His manifest presence. David writes in Psalm 26, "So Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory is." Yes, God is incredible. He loves visiting His sons. The manifest presence of God means bringing the unseen, the unheard, the unknown into the seen, into the heard and the known. It's to, that in the presence of God is where we get a revelation of His heart and of His will for us. You see, that's what happened with Isaiah in that temple. When he saw God in His presence, he became aware of the people around him, and he became aware of God's will in His own life. If we want to glorify the Lord, we must cultivate the love for His man in His presence. That means sometimes we need to shut up. That means that sometimes if God moves and He says, "Quivers, I have enough prayer to you, you don't pray. Whether you prepare on this citizen for 2 years or not, you don't need to be too quiet." That means if we just worship today, that's fine. We put a premium on the presence of God. Not only in church, but in our homes. Say, "Lord, glorify me. Glorify me. I love you, Lord. I want to see your face." You receive. You know, to what Jesus has done, He was the forerunner for us. And because He's our high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and devotion as a man. There's no more idea of God wanting to punish us just when He comes to us. Let us draw near with full assurance of God. I want you to see my glory in this place where my glory dwells. Do we want to glorify the Father this morning? Cultivate the love of His presence. Glory to us. And not only for us in our inner room or here in church, and that's what I want to submit to you in conclusion today. It's not enough to keep this for ourselves, you know. It's not enough for us to sit this morning and experience God and His awesomeness. If the world out there, under the curse of fatherlessness, can't see the Father through our lives. So we need to pray to Psalm 24 and live that. In the glory into you. That means literally the presence of God in a place where people can be touched by God. And I believe that this is God's heart for us as shofar, and His heart for His church, is that we take His presence into places. Right? I can share two quick testimonies in that. He's saying that, this friend of mine, he's in Rainham. I love him so much, he's such a good, incredible guy. So I've been telling these testimonies to him now. The last while. And so I told him about a mission trip we had, and I'll just move powerful. So he told me that night, and we were there. So, "Goodness, please, next time we come together, you must show me your photos." Right? I want to see photos. Show me the proof. he really wanted to see photos. So the other day, he comes across my office at Sassel and Joburg. And he pops in and we start chatting, and I realize I've got some of the photos in my lap. I was like, "Okay, let me quickly show you." And so some of the stories of how God has touched people and redeemed them and healed them, I show them pictures. And as I'm talking, God manifests Himself. He's made His presence right in my office. Exactly what we experienced there, my Christians and my family, there in the world, in my office. God is there. And so He's saying in the process, why did you shoot? And as I'm talking, He's saying, "Please, when can you tell us more? We need to hear more of this. This is incredible." And He says, "When you spoke now, you changed my mood completely. I was in a bad mood. I am so peaceful now." So of course I know it's not me. I can't change the mood. I'm like, yes, hallelujah, I was great. King of glory, you know. Only you can change the heart, you know. Only the King of glory can enter into man's life changes into man in his presence. Same happened with my sister. Now, I love sharing this testimony. You guys can rejoice with me today. My sister got saved 2 months ago. I feel like the luckiest man on earth. You know, I love her so much. She struggled. She had a hard life. For some of us parents, I want to encourage you. Sometimes, you know, you'll have two kids. It seems as if things are going right, but when you're one child, it's just everything bad happens to them. God loves those kids. He's got such a heart. My sister tried to commit suicide 4 times in her life. Hectic depression, guys, tattoos, alcohol, all sorts of things. You know, really bad times. So everything bad always happened. She struggled with school, academically, she struggled with friends. She was better than me in sport. You know, she was fantastic in sport. By the way, she said I could share this message. Because she wants everyone to know. So my final name is Stanley Washington. She was going to come visit me one day. And I was so excited for her to come, but by that time she was struggling really with depression. So I phoned her just before I was going to fetch her Paul. And I said, okay, well, this girl, you're going to come visit me. And she said, oh, no, I don't mind the day. I'm not sure if you need something for this. So I told her, okay, sister, Maria, I'm going to phone you again in 2 hours' time. And if you still don't want to come, then it's fine. So you guys know how we all sometimes have our agendas, right? I wanted to take my sister to church this Sunday morning. That's why. Bad agendas. But so I thought, okay, cool, I'll find it in 2 hours. I went up to my room and I was reading this book about how God restored a marriage. As I started reading, manifest glory of God, manifest presence of God in my room, right there, King of glory. And I'm like, God, you know, what do you want to do? And the Lord says to me, Quivis, lift up your right hand. And I lift up my right hand. I see a picture of him facing a friend who come of mine. I was praying at the time with my right hand. He says, Quivis, lift up your left hand. I lift up my left hand and faces my sister and feels like my left hand. Just a little picture that I saw. He says, I am going to pray. As I stopped praying, I stopped weeping. The weight of God. Weeping. And I see this picture of every bad thing that has come against them in their lives. Just how the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy us. I get angry, so angry at the enemy, but at the same time, so sad. So, now that I'm done, Karasabanda, they're so lovely, they're praying in tongues and praying like I declare freedom over them in this throne, and family snort, and all this love in my bed as I'm lying there, just interceding for. Eventually I feel that the Lord is saying, okay, it's done. It's been done. Look at my watch, it's back in 2 hours. And I just went to my bed praying. And so I phoned my sister again, I have to go to so you're going to come visit. She says, no, you can come pick me up. Score. Hallelujah. Lord, big. So I drive, long story short, I drive, then bring him back. And now we can chat back, and the only problem is she says she wants cigarettes. But she doesn't have money. So I'm like, it's fine if you want to smoke, but now I'm the friend of having you to do it. But as I tell her no, she starts manifesting. She starts to get so angry at me, and she starts shouting at me and cursing at me. And she says, you know, you're a Christian. You're not protected. You're so fruitless. My yoga is so lifeless. And she starts, but like hectic. She curses at me. She swears at me. She says, and now guess what? I'll never go to church with you. You can forget it. I hate God and I hate you and blah, blah, blah. She goes into the room and shuts the door. I'm like, God, this isn't working out so well. This isn't working out so well. And so the Holy Spirit says to me, I don't want you guys to take this time. The Holy Spirit says to me, get in the car. You can buy a cigarette. Don't take this time. I had to check. I couldn't find the scripture that says, go buy a cigarette. But, so I call her, and we go out to the shop, and I buy her the stuff, and she's silent. She doesn't say a word to me. But silently. Go back into the home. And as we enter, the Holy Spirit says to me, no, she's not going to stay in the friend's room that you prepared for her. I want to could you sleep in your bed tonight? So I said, was that okay? Unless it's magic, oh, it's fine, you can sleep in my bed tonight. She goes up to my room and sits in the room and laughs. After 10 minutes, I'm doing this famous cry for this from the front room. I go upstairs and I go into my room and God's presence. I actually see an angel standing in my bed and yours is lying there. And God is just saying, the first time in her life, she gets on this bed and she starts confessing her sins, one for one for one. All the things that we were sort of suspecting she was busy with, she just starts confessing. And she says to me, Quibus, I know the truth, I know God is the answer, but I just don't know how. I feel so trapped, I feel so stuck. And she says a picture of herself, and she sees the light there, but she doesn't know how to get there. She feels like she's been pulled into the darkness the whole time, with full two eyes. She just confesses, and she opens her heart for the first time. And so God gives an opportunity to just pray with her, and just chat with her just about her, and then go to bed. And the next morning, I wake up the fire, like a hair dryer. Men know that we're taking the hair dryer in the morning, is it really? Yeah. She came to church with me the other day, out of her own, and that was the first time she made it in the house. Man, I love the King of Glory. King of Glory into me. He's the Lord strong and mighty, Lord mighty and happy. God wants to touch people. If you want to see God and the Father glorified, you need to trust and get to know him as the King of Glory. You guys want to know the King of Glory? You guys think that Stanton needs to know the King of Glory? So we can consecrate our spaces, our houses, our offices, wherever we go. I go to the shop sometimes, I just want you to say, now you pray right there, the people will be touched by me when they walk past the space. We consecrate spaces and say, God, in Jesus' name, if people who come here, they're going to be touched by me. They're going to see who Jesus is, and they're going to bow down. Is that difficult? No, we son of God. If we want to glorify God, we don't even know how much our Father wants to show off for us. Wants to show off for us, God. In His glory to His Son. So, in the last place, the last scripture that I can share with you guys. We all pray, the human beings. But God says it's a time for us in shame to walk away from the orphan living, letting us equal victims and that comparison, all those things that I spoke to you about, to live as sons. The world needs to see the Father. It's not going to happen to any other man that's through his sons. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So we need to look at Jesus. When you read scripture, I want us to do it in a new way. It's not just to read scripture for knowledge. You need to read the Bible and say, Jesus, I see you are loving that lady. I want to be like that, Lord. Jesus, you are praying for that person. You are teaching like this. I want to be a son of you. Live in that same freedom. From not comparing yourself with others. Or asking, what about me? I'd say, Lord, transform me into the son and daughter that you want me to be. You need to be taught that. How deep is the Father's love for us? Incredible. So I want to invite us to stand this morning. Brandon, those last two songs that we were singing, man, we can quit. I love that manuscript, by the way. I didn't tell Brandon that we were singing that song. Glorifying Man. This is the whole song. But basically, if you guys can stand with me, we're going to trust God for a shift in our hearts this morning. A shift, full shift.